the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He is not praying that the Holy Spirit may come to dwell in them, for he does that. He dwells in each of us. But rather, he's praying that he might give us a spiritual understanding of the revealed Word of God. You see, the unconverted person, the natural man, if you're here and you've never put your trust in Christ, you cannot understand the things of God. You may understand the words, and you may have an opinion of what they mean, but you cannot understand the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in individual Christians that allows us to understand the Word of God, because the Spirit does dwell in us. We mentioned that fact this morning, that in John 14, 15, and 16, the Lord, in those last hours with the disciples, was preparing them for the fact that he was going to leave them, and he told them that the Holy Spirit was going to come and dwell in them. And some of the things he told them, for instance, in John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Our brother today mentioned the fact, our brother Bob, about memorization. And I see there's some children here as well as young people. Let me encourage you while you're young to memorize the Word of God. You see what this passage says? He says he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. As far as the disciples were concerned, he brought to their remembrance the things that they needed to write down in the Gospels and so forth. But as far as you and I are concerned, the way it applies to us is everything we run through the UNIVAC, God will bring back. But that you've never put there, he's not going to give you. Everything that you put in there, God will or can bring back. You know, I used to study when I went to school. I didn't like school very much. And I used to study every lesson I was supposed to. I always studied the lesson. I didn't study it well, always, but I studied the lesson, and then I prayed a lot. And I was amazed at how many thoughts came back. And I believe if what you're doing is legitimate, and you study, God will bless you in many things in this life. But if you don't study, if it's not in there, God's not going to put it in there. You can't get anything out of an empty can. But if the material is in there, God will bring it to you. Somebody mentioned today a man named John McGee, who for many years was a missionary in China. And he was one of those that was kept in the communist prison immediately after the communists took over in China after World War II. And I remember him giving his testimony one time and telling of that experience. And he told how that when he was in prison, one of the things they did to torture him was to put him into a prison cell. And he was not able to talk with anyone. No one spoke to him. He had nothing to read, which is terrible torture for an intelligent individual. But as he sat in that cell, he was able to remember whole chapters in the Bible. I remember him saying he was able to remember every boy in the Sunday school classes, all the years of his life, their names and what they looked like. He was able to remember hymns, and he sang them, every word. Ones he had never memorized, because the Holy Spirit was working in his life, and he was doing that which Christ has promised he'll do. He'll bring to remembrance, to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto him. He's going to bring to your remembrance those things that are of value in your life. And then John 15, 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me. We're going to learn concerning Christ. John 16:13-14 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." So we see that the Spirit of truth brings us wisdom and revelation. See, I shouldn't have said anything about the firecrackers. This prayer is for the knowledge of the saint. When you get over into the third chapter, the prayer that our brother talked about was for love, because that was his subject, love. My father, in his book in Ephesians, reminds us that knowledge comes first, because true love flows from knowledge of God and his grace. I read a story once of a girl who bought a book, and she was reading this book, and she wasn't too interested in it, so she put it on the shelf. Some months later, she met a young man, and after some months of courtship, she fell in love with him, and they decided to get married. And so she was packing her things to move to the house that he was providing for her. And in packing them, she came across this book, and when she looked at it, she realized that he was the writer of the book. And she read the book again. And this time she loved the book, because she loved the author. And you know, that's what happens to you and I, isn't it? When we have a knowledge of Christ gleaned from reading his word, from studying the word of God, we'll fall in love with the author. The first prayer is about knowledge, and the later prayer about love. He prays that they increase in knowledge of him. Not just to know the facts, but to know him. To know Christ. Many of you know something about my father, but many of you really don't know him. You see, like our brother was mentioning today, he and I, we know our fathers. We know them in an intimate way. And you know, there's a different attitude when you know the individual. Let me give you two stories. A man was once visiting in a small Muslim village in Turkey. And there they had a school. And in this school they taught the Quran. And he was talking to one of these young men who was learning the Quran, and he said to him, "How did you happen to come here?" And he says, "Well, I want to be a priest in the Muhammad religion, or the Muslim religion." And he said, when we get finished elementary school, if we want to be a priest, we come to the school and we begin to memorize the Quran in Arabic. And when we finish memorizing it, the whole Quran, then we are priests." And he said, "Well, you mean you just memorize it? Don't you understand it?" He said, "Oh, no, it's not necessary to understand it. The Quran is a sacred writing of the Prophet Muhammad, and once we have it memorized and can recite it, then we're priests." The second story. Clarence Hall, a World War II correspondent, tells of his experiences during World War II, when they came upon a village in Okinawa called, I think it's Shimabuki. It was 35 years before the day that they arrived there that an American missionary en route to Japan had stopped for a few days in this island. And he had been there long enough to win two converts to Christ, Shoshi Kina and his brother Mahon. He left them a Bible, and he went away. For 30 years after that, there was no contact whatsoever with any other Christian missionaries. But these two converts made that Bible come alive. Shoshakina became the head man of the village, and his brother became the chief teacher. In the school where he taught the children, he taught the precepts of the Word of God and the commandments and laws of the Bible. In that village, in the 30 years, the purest form of Christian democracy came out of it. And when the American army came, they were astounded at the cleanliness, the intelligence, the education, the kindness of these individuals in this village. The soldiers couldn't get over it. One of the sergeants said, "Maybe we're fighting this war with the wrong kind of equipment." You see, the difference was that these men knew Christ. And the other man just knew the facts about who he believed to be God, Mohammed. The important thing is to know him. You know, we can go to college and we can get a degree, but that degree is absolutely of no value if we don't come to know the particular thing which it covers. You see, we can get a degree in engineering, but if we never do any engineering, we'll never be engineers. We may have the degree, but we won't know what we're doing. It's coming to know the truth behind the facts. It's coming to know what causes a thing to operate. And so you and I first have a knowledge of Christ, and then we learn to love him. And then in verses 18 and 19, we see that he prays for three things. He says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." These three things, the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory in his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power, these then are his petitions for the saints, that they may know. And I'm sure that God would have each of us to know those things as well in our lives. What is the hope of his calling? I suppose that we who have put our trust in him might be with him. That's the promise. How do we see the hope of his calling? We see it, we see with the eyes of our understanding. We see the hope of his calling with the eyes of our understanding, or we might say with the eyes of our heart. We read it with the eyes of our heart through meditation in his word. Isaiah 40:31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that spend time in God's presence will be able to spend time in God's presence. That's mounting up with wings. They'll be able to serve, to run. They'll be able to walk, to live life day by day in separation unto him. Dr. A.T. Pearson, I was sharing this with a brother this week. Dr. A.T. Pearson once went to visit a man in a hospital. And he said to this man, "How are you feeling?" And the man said, "Well, I can't understand why I'm here." He said, "You know, I'm so busy for the Lord, I don't have the time to be here, I can't understand it." And Dr. Pearson said, "Well, sometimes God puts you on your back so you'll look up. Sometimes we need to be set aside just so we'll spend some time in his presence. We're too busy, even for the Lord. Maybe we're too busy." And as Dr. Pearson left that hospital, he said to himself, as he patted himself on the back, "You know, that was a pretty good answer you gave off the top of your head there." And then he thought about it. He said, "What about you? What about you?" And he said, "For the rest of my life up until this day, I take an hour, not always 60 minutes in a row, but I take an hour apart every day to spend some time communing with the Lord. Just to spend time in His presence. Not to pray, not to preach, not to read, not to study, but simply to commune with the Lord and seek to come to know Him in a very special way. This isn't head knowledge, this is heart knowledge. It is experience, it's understanding. Paul could say, I know whom I have believed. We're the portion. The Father has given to the Son, and we're the body, and we're to be joined to Him, the head. That's the promise of His calling. And then secondly, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The epistle speaks much of the riches in which God has brought us in Christ. In the 7th verse of this chapter, the 18th verse we just read, in the 4th verse of the 2nd, the 7th verse, and so forth, he speaks of the riches. The riches make us one with Him. He came to win us for Himself that He might have us with Him forever. We're His heavenly inheritance. We're His prized possession. We have an inheritance, but the apostle also wants us to know the value that we are to Him, for He has made us an inheritance. He has us, you and I, for an inheritance. He's our inheritance, and we're His, that He might bring us to glory. Oh, the wonder of this truth. The brother and I were sharing this as we went to the prayer meeting tonight. The fact that someday He's going to reveal us to an awestruck world, you and I that have been chosen as His inheritance. And then in that day we are going to enter into and enjoy the riches of His glory when He takes possession of His inheritance in the saints. And then thirdly, the exceeding greatness of His power. In the 20th verse, we see that it's a resurrection power. That which raised Him from the dead and now has Him seated on God's right hand in heaven, that same power is going to take us home to glory. We're going to be carried to be with Him. In John 15:4, He says, without Me you can do nothing. You see, it's when we're in fellowship with Him that we have the power. We read that verse, be strong in the Lord, and I like to remind people, especially young people, what that means. When I was young, I used to think that be strong in the Lord was kind of like when I tried to build up my body. You know, I tried to make myself stronger by taking exercises and riding my bike and doing all those things. I was becoming stronger. But that's not what it means to be strong in the Lord. It doesn't mean as I grow in grace. It doesn't mean as I get spend years in the presence of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord means that when I am nothing, when I yield my life to Him, that's when I'm strong in the Lord. It's His power. It's all His power. You know, where I used to work, we had one of those great big forklifts, and we used to lift something like 35 tons with it at a time. And I did it a couple times just so I could know how to operate the equipment. You take that little lever and you hardly pull it back and it picks up 35 tons. You see, between me and that Clark forklift, we could lift 35 tons. I can lift 100 pounds by myself. But the two of us together, you see, I was strong with that forklift, and you and I are to be strong in the Lord. You know, on the grounds down there at Shepherd Retirement Community, I have a golf cart or two, and you know, it'll go about 25 miles without recharging. And then we have to plug it in and recharge it. You know why it goes so far? At least that seems quite far to us. That's because the batteries hold the power. But you see, that's not true with you and I. We can't hold the power. There's not enough grace that you can absorb today that you don't need God's grace tomorrow. There's not enough fellowship that you can't pack enough fellowship in with God today that you don't need fellowship with Him tomorrow. You see, we need to be connected to the power. He said in John 15, without Me, you can do nothing. Paul says that you and I need to be connected to the power, the exceeding greatness of his power, that ye might know. And he describes it in verses 20 and 21. It's the same type of power that carried him home. The world is an evil place. How nice to know about the power. It's a tiresome place. How nice to know about the power. Are you connected to the power? And just as it is done for him, when he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. Now we're on earth, and he's in heaven, but one day we're going to be united with him, the head, by his power. That's what verses 22 and 23 says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The body needs to be with the head, and the head the body, to make him complete. When that is done, then will verses 18 and 19 have been fulfilled, and you and I shall know. May God make these thoughts precious to your individual heart for his name's sake. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, we thank thee again for the privilege of coming into thy presence. We thank thee for these wonderful thoughts that are found in this lovely book, which would seek to transport us today into the heavenlies, that we might be where he is. He who loved us and gave himself for us, the forerunner who has gone on, the one in whom we have our hope. Our hope is placed in him. It's an anchor to hold us ever. We pray, our God and Father, that we may realize the wonderful work of salvation which has been wrought in our lives by thee, the Father, and he, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who keeps us and possesses us and lives within us until that day when we shall see our blessed Lord and Savior face to face. Bless these thoughts to our hearts. We thank thee for this time together. Be with us for the rest of the evening as we give thee thanks in his worthy and precious name. Amen.